to Talking About Singing, where we talk about singing. This is a podcast where we discuss albums and pit them against each other in a battle royale scenario. Only one will survive from 2019. Brendan, how you feeling going into the preliminaries here?
I'm feeling pretty good about my chances of winning, which, of course, is the prize is having the next child that is born out of any of us. The winner gets to pick the name of that baby.
Okay, so whoever has the next child, the winner picks the name for that.
Yep, out of three of us.
All right, I feel like that's skewed slightly in my disfavor.
Yeah, so Peyton, get ready for me to name your child Quasar.
That's not a bad name, actually. I would be fine with that. Maybe getting into it too early, but hot take, I think one kid is like a perfect number.
Yeah?
Yeah. People got
he's got to have a buddy. He's got to have a buddy.
That's what, okay, literally every family member has been saying to me, but it's like, why? I have freaking three siblings? I'm not super close with any of them.
I thought you were going to be like, why? I had no friends and I turned out fine.
Also that, like, my reasoning is I will just bring this one child to Disney World every year, you know? Spend all of the money I would have spent on the other, you know, kid, just on this one and spoil him horridly.
Alternately, you can still have multiple kids, but it can be like how, like, Harry Potter's, like, on uncle treated him, you know, like you spend all the money on the one kid and you just have the other one do like the dishes and like live under the stairs and shit.
Anyway.
Are you giving him like football pads and everything now?
Yeah, I'm just kind of flicking him now and then to toughen him up.
Giving him jump scares to like harden his resolve.
Go, and then two for flinching, you know, on the arm.
Yeah, right. So aside from terrorizing your child, how you doing?
Pretty good. It is getting into winter in Minnesota, and I am dealing with that cooped up in the house feeling again.
Getting to. It was 15 below yesterday.
Yeah, it's been sucky.
Dylan Schemenauer to my east. How you doing?
Good.
How many kids is the right amount of kid?
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
And how many siblings are in your family?
So, it's me and my brother. Two.
And you think that's just the perfect scenario?
Yeah.
That's fair. I respect that. I haven't met your brother. Can we get your brother on the podcast?
Yeah, we can try. Yeah. That'd be fun.
We'll have him come in to decide the final vote and just out of the blue.
All right.
Upset everyone that entered into this bracket.
You can pick any album, and the winner is going to be one that wasn't even in the bracket.
All right, let's get into it. Brendan, for the love of God, what are you doing?
What?
What, on the Excel sheet? Are you
scrolling? Oh, can you see me tapping around?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, there's Dylan.
Is it bothering you? I'm going to, like, get in your way like Snake.
All right, let's get down to business here. We are starting in the upper left-hand side of the bracket for those playing along at home. We plan on getting through at least half of it, the top half of the bracket we plan on getting through today. No promises. We're going to do Gray Area by Little Sims versus Anger Management by Rico Nasty and Kenny Beats. And then we're going to go When We All Fall Asleep by Billie Eilish. Versus The Fall of Hobo Johnson by Hobo Johnson. Revenge of the Dreamers 3 by Dreamville. Versus Shea Butter Baby by Ari Lennox. And then Magdalene by FKA Twigs. Versus Leak 04-13 parentheses Bait Ones close parentheses by Jai Paul? J Paul? One of those two.
Jake Paul.
Logan and Jake Paul. Those are our first rounds. What do you guys want to start with? Gray Area versus Anger Management?
Yeah.
I got a 20-sided die here to see who goes first since that went so smoothly last week. Get that good ASMR right here. This is Brendan. Brendan got a 4. Dylan got an 8. Ooh, God, Peyton got a 1. So let's go.
Darn.
Dylan,
darn it.
Brendan, Peyton, and we'll cycle through. But Dylan, why don't you start us off here?
Well, so I didn't really listen to these that much throughout the whole year, but I did go back and listen to them this past week a little bit, kind of skimmed through and got an idea of it. And I'm just, I guess, I don't know. It really depends on how I'm feeling for which one I would like better. Rico Nasty is very, and it like just says it right in the title, angry. In a lot of her songs are more like trap songs that just go hard, and Gray Area is a lot more chill, and I like to be chill. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Gray Area.
A vote straight off the bat for the number one seed, Gray Area. Brendan, how you feeling?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I dug Anger Management. There's nothing that, you know, the collaboration of, you know, Kenny Beats, Rico Nasty is just, it's phenomenal. It has, I think, a certain character or quality to it that might lend itself better to, like, just more singles as opposed to, like, a full album. That was my kind of feeling coming away from it. Whereas it's a lot of the similar feel throughout, whereas I think Gray Area felt like a more fleshed out album concept. There's just a more wide variety to go into it. I think the biggest like draw to Anger Management is just the outlandish personality of Rico Nasty, and that comes through, and that's awesome, and I love it. But I think with Little Sims, there's a difference in, I guess, technical ability, a variation of different styles that I think lends itself really well. So my decision here is also to go with Little Sims, Gray Area.
Nice. Little Sims, moving on. You know, some of these pairings, the way they worked out, some for the best, some for the worst. I think it kind of stinks. We got the two female rappers back to back. But yeah, I'm in agreement with both of you. Anger Management is just such dialed up to 11 all the way through that I'm not sure it's something I want to come back to as a whole very often. And whatever calculus you're using to figure out quote unquote best album of the year, I think it's got to work as a whole piece. And I think that was a good point. As singles, Anger Management really works, but as a whole, I think Little Sims has a little bit more to say, and maybe in a little bit more of a cohesive manner.
I should also point out that I really like the production on Gray Area by Little Sims. Hmm. Just like the really old style drums, and it all sounds like it was recorded in a garage or something, or some sort of,
yeah,
like a basement. But it's like, and you might hear that and you're like, oh, that means it's bad, but it actually works really, really well with her voice. And actually, it doesn't sound like that throughout the whole album, but a majority of the tracks have these really old sounding drums, like break beats, like old school hip hop break beats.
Yeah.
And then her accent from the UK, and just like the way she says things and enunciates things really works well over these like just dirty, grimy, I wouldn't even say really grimy, but just more like dirty and like off of vinyl or tape sound. It just works really well.
Completely agree. A deserved win by Gray Area. That one came out pretty early in the year, but I remember it getting a pretty good buzz right away, and it certainly stuck around throughout December. All right, next pairing, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, Billie Eilish, and The Fall of Hobo Johnson by Hobo Johnson. Brendan, cycling through. What do you think of this combo?
You know, I think it's a real bummer that Hobo Johnson got paired up with Billie Eilish in round one, because I really fucking loved that album. I really dig Hobo Johnson in general. I think he kind of gets a similar treatment to, I don't know, I don't want to compare him to his treatment to the treatment of Nickelback, because I think he is a more creative person than Nickelback has been. But I think what I'm getting at is Hobo Johnson's been just like the poster boy to get dunked on. But all throughout this, it's just, it's fun and it's quirky without it being, without being too much, in my opinion. But that Billie Eilish album, it's tough. It's got a lot of, like, obviously pop appeal because it was, you know, number one for so long. But it's tough. I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go with Hobo Johnson here. I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to say Hobo Johnson.
Wow. Wild vote.
Nothing against Billie Eilish's album. There's a lot to, like, keep coming back to.
Yeah. But, yeah. I have a complicated relationship with Hobo Johnson. His first album, which I think was The Rise of Hobo Johnson, I was really turned off to his whole persona. And coming to this album, I kind of carried that baggage with me, and on first glance I was like, oh, this is just kind of more of the same. Don't really like it. But, you know, coming back, doing our research for this bracket, which we take very seriously, I think what repulses me the most is it kind of is sort of a mirror into the worst part of, maybe I'm broadcasting too much, but most of our personalities, kind of the the clingy, just kind of like overly dramatic, like, God, everything is awful and, you know, my life is so bad, while still being self-aware to a certain degree. I think what initially turned me off was kind of the bizarro version of myself in it. But it is, on its surface, not the easiest listening to. His voice is certainly something that is an acquired taste, I would say. So, that's fair. Long story short, I've come around a good deal on Hobo Johnson. But pitting it against Billie Eilish, again, another person, actually, I've come around to in a big way. You can't stop this juggernaut of an album in terms of setting a tone all the way throughout. And wow, I'm finding more similarities. She's also someone who takes herself not very seriously, but also very seriously at the same time. I think this album starts with, hold on, let me take out my retainer or something like that.
Yeah.
That sort of energy is just a lot more fun on the Billie Eilish album. But beyond that, I think she's definitely a force in pop music history, possibly music history, where it's just so influential that I don't know how you could discard that aspect of it. But even more than that, it is a great listen for the most part. Some of it gets a little samey throughout, but I think I definitely got to go with Billie Eilish on this one.
Oh, great.
So, Dylan, we are a second matchup. I don't know what the seeds are off the top of my head here, but definitely a possible upset. Dylan, break the tie.
Yeah. Yeah. well, I don't know. It's weird. Both of these artists have kind of had the same sort of success. It was really quick. I remember seeing Hobo Johnson, like, on Facebook, he submitted to the Tiny Desk competition way back when, or whatever it was, and he ended up winning it, and that went really crazy because of the peach scones. So I remember all that happening, and, like, just how unique and different his flow and delivery and just look was. And it's kind of the same thing with Billie Eilish over here. She's just rose really fast into, well, like, way more than stardom. I would say she's, like, a superstar now. And it's kind of crazy because I think she's, like, 17 or 18 maybe.
Yeah, 17.
Now, 17?
Yeah.
And she's just, like, up there with some of the best of the best already. So you can't really deny that she has definitely made an impact on this world because she's obviously moved, whether it be like 15-year-olds, she's changed something in the world. As far as the music, for me, there are times when I find myself listening to Billie Eilish on the radio and like getting into it and being like, ah, damn, yeah. Like, I'm really feeling this. And I actually honestly look up Hobo Johnson every once in a while to listen back to his crazy flows and storytelling. So this is a really, really, really difficult decision for me. But I think overall, I'm going to have to go with Billy.
Yeah.
I respect it. I agree. I'm glad Hobo Johnson did get a vote there, though. I feel like he deserves at least a dissenting opinion.
Mm. Yeah, that Billie Eilish album, really great. And, like, not only is she just, like, an icon in terms of, like, how, in terms of, like, music and stuff, like, fashion and all that. Really, I don't know. Like, noticeable style. Like, you see Billie Eilish with, like, the 6X t-shirt or whatever, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's Billie Eilish, all right.
And even more than, like, sales, you kind of want to not look at sales when you talk about, like, you know, quality of an album. But, man, influence, that her style is, like, a product of so much before, but will also set the way for so much after. And it's cool to be part of that moment.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like I saw a video of Billie Eilish performing live, and it was in front of like an older crowd, and she was singing about like how all good girls go to hell or whatever.
Yeah,
and like all these old people are just like nodding their head to her talking about like the devil and Satan and how, and I was just like, oh God, I was like, it's cringy and weird as hell, but so I don't know. I it's a love hate relationship with me and Billy.
Yeah. Well,
we will see how she fares in the next round.
Yeah.
But first, Revenge of the Dreamers 3 by Dreamville. I'm not sure how many people exactly were on that album, but it was all of them. Versus Shea Butter Baby by Ari Lennox. Also Dreamville. Dreamville versus Dreamville here.
Yeah.
Funny how these things work out. I think I'm starting. Revenge of the Dreamers 3. Solid. I think I was pretty high on that right when it came out. Those photos of whatever name they called the get-together of all the artists. You know, like JID, all the producers, Smino, all those guys getting together and working on it, Buddy, were crazy. That really built some good momentum for this album, and I think it delivered really well. I think it feels cohesive with so many cooks in the kitchen, and it just zips. It's a fun, enjoyable listen most of the way through, except for that one thorn of middle child right smack dab in there, and then you just get kind of like a wasabi bomb, except it's J. Cole being J. Cole. Ah, so that really just is kind of a bummer for me that song made its way on there. But Shea Butter Baby, also solid all the way through. A very singular voice from Ari Lennox. Just fun, just smooth music, an amazing voice all the way through. New Apartment, probably my favorite song on there. Definitely one of my favorite songs of the year. So it's tough for me. This is a tough Dreamville battle, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Shea Butter Baby is something I've gone back to a lot, and I don't think I've listened to either of these all the way through. So I think I gotta give it, for as much fun as Revenge of the Dreamers was for me, how surprised I was by it, I think I gotta give it to Shea Butter Baby. I think it's just more consistent, more quality, and it's amazing where R&B is. And man, there's a lot of good R&B out there. This is some of my favorite. So I'm voting Ari Lennox.
Wow.
Dylan, what say you?
So I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, I'm going with Revenge of the Dreamers. Because I would listen to this album way more than Shea Butter Baby. And in fact, I did listen to it a lot more. Revenge of the Dreamers has like this feel of like old school. I wouldn't say old school hip hop, but like kind of like that Joey Badass, the Pro Era, when Pro Era was doing like their whole Pro Era group tapes. And then like when Beast Coast did their whole Beast Coast tape, and like it had the Underachievers and all them, it has that feel of it. But like a lot of West Coast rappers and stuff on it. So it's like their whole take on it. And I just thought it was really, really good. Really good, really well done. I mean, like you said, it's not cohesive enough for you, but I mean, it's kind of hard to be cohesive when you have this many people involved, but I think it still does a pretty good job. And your hate on J. Cole, that sounds like a personal problem.
Tell me Middle Child is a great J. Cole song. tell me that.
It's the great J. Cole song.
Okay. I hard disagree on that one, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, but
tied up, another tie.
Yeah,
Brendan, you can.
And Shea Butter Baby is more just like, it's too slow for me. It like I would need to have some sort of I don't know.
Let me ask you one quick question, Dylan. One quick follow up question.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked around your new apartment naked?
Yes.
All right. Then how can you not resonate with new apartment, man? It is such a common human experience that no one has talked about.
I don't know.
But I digress. Anyway, Brendan, you can settle this tie.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with talking about Revenge of the Dreamers. I don't really have the same issues with cohesion, I guess, because to me, when you have like a posse album, when you have the whole label on here, the way that they did, I think cohesion as an album is, I think you need to adapt that term for the context that it's in. When you think about how every track flows from rapper to rapper, from like, you know, ideas swirling around, being able to stay basically on the same like one energy level, you're matching the feel for the song. I think they do like an absolute insane job of that through, you know, 18 songs over an hour of music. So I don't think I have the same issue there. And listening to that album made me realize like J. Cole isn't even like a top five rapper on his own label, which is insane that there are all these people signed to Dreamville. That's really, really fucking impressive. I mean, you got Down Bad, which is a banger. It's got an insanely, like, cool, you know, track listing. And it's, like, this is, like, the sort of album that I think, DJ Khaled is kind of going for. But the difference between these two in terms of, like, compilation albums, in a sense, is that this one people gave a shit about. And it sounds fucking good. Shea Butter Baby, on the other hand, obviously, different feel. it satisfies a different sort of listening experience for me. For that one, I feel like a different, more intimate, it's just a deep dive for one person the whole time, save for the one J. Cole and Jid features. And I think J. Cole delivered harder on the one track on Ari Lennox's album than he did on that Dreamville one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can just listen to Ari Lennox's voice all day. The lyrics are on, the mood is on, everything flows together absolutely perfectly. I'm going with Shea Butter Baby. It's one I've been coming back to. One I've been coming back to all year. One I'll be, you know, going back to next year as well. Really good stuff.
Nice. Happy to see it. Happy to see it. You take off Middle Child from Revenge of the Dreamers 3, it's a much closer call for me.
Didn't you write, you wrote an article about how much you hated that one, or was that a different J. Cole thing?
Don't call it an article.
I mean, what's the difference?
It's so much worse than that. I think I did it on...
Rant?
Everybody Dies is what I did that one on. I might have done Middle Child, too. I don't remember.
We have a website. It's on a website. It's an article.
That makes it... Yeah, you know, it's the deranged, frustrated musings from a very particular viewpoint. Shout out the listener email we got this week. Check out our Twitter if you want to read it in full. Just a great read of critique of my work on that topic.
Was that okay? I was confused about that. I didn't remember some of it, and it was reacting to your
bash
your work, your solo work.
Everything on the website's pretty much me. I'll take credit for that. I bashed Yellow Wolf. I accused him of being British. And this listener—that's
a bold claim.
Yeah, what the hell?
you're gonna have to read it. Talking about singing.com, if you want to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, last one for this quadrant: Magdalene by FKA Twigs versus Leap 04-13 (parentheses Bait Ones) by J. Paul. Dylan, start us off once again.
Gosh. I really didn't like either of these that much. Not that they're bad or anything, but I just don't see myself really getting into these. Both FK Twigs, I was listening back to it, and I just... came to the realization how weird of an album that is, just sounds and structure wise and like I was seeing some of the music videos, and like, just it's very, very weird. And Leak Bait Ones I just didn't really care for much at all. But I did like it better than FK Twigs in music style, but for some reason I like weird shit, so like the FK Twig stands out more just because it's so weird and different, even though I may not like be more likely to throw it on. I have respect because it is so different and trying to be out there a little bit more, so I think I'm gonna have to go with FK Twigs. And also that cellophane music video.
Yeah.
That was...
What did you think of the production on there especially? Do you want to like highlight that?
On the cellophane?
No, just on that album in general, because I'm looking here at the producer list. I think like most of them are Nicholas Jarre.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh,
really?
Brendan, I was waiting to shoot that silver bullet.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, wow, that makes it way better.
Oh wait, is Nicholas Jar, dude? Oh man.
Well, that explains why it's so weird. Well, he went with
that anyway. I was gonna be like, oh yeah, Dylan.
I know. I had the same
Oh, if I went with J. Paul or something, and then
it makes sense with what you said. You know,
it's so weird. Yeah, it
absolutely.
It is an insane producer list. You got Nicholas Jar, Skrillex, Benny Blanco, Cashmere Cat, Jack Antonoff, and FKA Twigs.
Kenny Beats.
Wow. Kenny Beats, yeah.
Wow.
Awesome. But official vote for Magdalene.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it me?
It is you, Brendan.
All right. I thought going into this, I knew it right away. I thought I was going to listen to Magdalene and be like, all right, FKA Twigs. This album's weird. It's impenetrable. There's just so much to keep going back to. It sounds like something that was written by a time traveler from the year 1200. Like some kind of monk from Notre Dame who somehow got a hold of, like, Fruity Loops. That's what this album sounds like. And it's awesome. I really, really love it. That Jai Paul album, I did not expect to like it as much as I did going into it. And I fucking loved it. I loved the production on it. Maybe even more than Magdalene, just because it was on the same wavelength of being an eccentric sort of production, but this one had more of like floating somewhere between indie pop, like dance, and you know, maybe a little hip hop influence in there. But I'm going with Jai Paul leak 04-13 parentheses bait ones. I love that album, Magdalene. Fantastic. Gonna keep coming back to it. But I think I can listen to that Jai Paul one with in more circumstances. It has a different energy to it that, you know, keeps my monkey brain invested further.
Really?
Yeah.
Invested? Yeah. Wow. I respect it. I had the same expectations going into this, too. Like, Magdalene came out, I think, last month, and immediately it got a lot of praise for how just dense and bizarre it was.
Yeah.
And then you get this leak from 2013 that you're like, oh, all right, well, check it out, you know? But, man, it was really good. I was really surprised, too, on how good and polished it was for, I assume it's still unfinished. Like, he officially released it, but it's not, I don't think, up to studio quality for mixing and mastering. A lot of it's labeled unfinished or demo or something like that.
Right, yeah.
But it carries all the way through. The voice is great. The voices on both of these are really great. Production, like you guys were saying, weird and bizarre. I do think my monkey brain really latched on to FKA Twigs too, though. Like, both of these, I was very interested the whole time. I think the thing that sets it apart for me is one of these started very much in a dense, obscured place and then kind of stripped all that down as it went on. I think FKA Twigs did that very well and gave me more of a journey. It's a very slight edge, but as much as I liked both of these and was surprised by both of them, I think I got to give it to Magdalene.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I can respect that.
Yeah, all of these. Oh, go ahead.
I think I get like a nostalgic feel from that Jai Paul album. It makes me feel like I'm listening to some like roided out version of like Das Racist.
Yeah, I can get that feel. Dang. That wraps up that first round of the upper left hand part of the bracket. That Whoa, how woke are we, guys? All women made their way through.
I will say, like, of all the brackets we've done, this year has, like, the most consistently quality ones because of how we're doing it. You know, we had a lot of ones that were like, oh, that album fucking sucked. Like, I don't want either one to move on. This one, it's like, oh, the one I wanted to win didn't win, but the other one's a pretty good album. I'm not even upset.
Yeah. Yeah, all these are very close, but you know, I respect all the dissenting opinions.
That hasn't always been the case.
No, we've had the real battle of the trash before.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Let's take a breather, take a step back from all these albums, and let's talk about some hot takes, huh? Who's got some hot takes? I got a real hot take in my pocket, but you know,
The press. Let's hear it.
It is burning my thigh.
I'll be back. 1 second.
All right.
Cool. You don't have to cut anything.
It's burning. This hot take is burning my thigh, Dylan. Dylan, I have put it too far in my pocket. I need to take it out.
Peyton, keep it in your pants.
It's burning. This take is burning me. I'm permanently scarred by this take. It's branded into my skin.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, go ahead. Drop it. Drop the take.
I need Dylan to hear it, though, because I know he's going to apply this recommendation to his daily life, and I just... You know, how about we talk about that JPEG Mafia and Orville Peck picture? That was real wholesome, huh?
I loved that. I think... Yeah, I love that picture. I love everything that I see Orville Peck in. His online presence is so... Like, it's really positive. Everything he always, like, says on there is, it seems super nice. And also, super unexpected. Like, I told you before this, the one with him and, like, Bella Hadid and the Kardashians at a Dior fashion show. And they're just all hanging out together. It was so weird. And it was so cool.
Who was that?
Orville Peck.
Orville Peck, yeah.
I was killing some time because, Dylan, I need you to hear my hot take.
Okay.
And it's going to sound strange, and you're going to be like, Peyton, what are you even talking about? All right, but listen. Listen up. If you have a Netflix account, all right, go onto your Netflix account and watch the currently 13-episode series of Green Eggs and Ham.
Aren't there, like, 13 pages in that book?
It is. It has... so little to do with the source material. And my wife turned it on because, you know, we have a beautiful baby boy that we just want to entertain in some way.
Sure.
So we're turning on cartoons left and right, and she started Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham, the 13-episode Netflix series. And I was like, do we have to? Like, we got Disney Plus. Can't we watch Disney? She's like, no, it's fine. We're not even going to pay attention to it, you know?
Okay, first of all, Disney Plus, really?
Well, yeah, it's, yeah, obviously. Do you know me?
Boo.
That is not my hot take. I don't care if you get Disney Plus.
That's my hot take.
Listen, I'm not done with my hot take.
What was your take? What is your take saying that it exists?
The hot take is, I am 10 episodes into Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham on Netflix, and it is maybe the funniest TV show I've seen all year. It is so quality. There's so many visual gags. It feels like Arrested Development, but it's also Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham. I highly recommend it. It is rated TV-7, but man, it gets heavy at points. It is consistently hilarious, well-written. Highly recommend.
Some kids' stuff is really, really funny to watch, like SpongeBob. Thank you. I love watching SpongeBob. Yeah.
Yeah. This has
my girlfriend makes fun of me because I really thoroughly enjoy a lot of like kids movies.
But yet you're anti Disney Plus?
It's not because of the content that's on it. I just hate that like we're circling back to being basically like cable TV. Everything, it was nice. We had a good thing going there for a bit.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of like getting, you know, stratified where this company has their streaming thing and this one has their streaming thing, and it's just like, that's at some point we're going to get sick of doing that and go back to pirating it, and they'll be back to square one, because it's, I think it's dumb. I hate it. Like, yeah. If we're going to start getting like streaming things for like, oh, you need to have Interscope and their subsidiaries on this streaming platform and then this label, and it's just like, it's too much work. We do it because it's convenient. It's becoming more and more inconvenient, and we have the ability to just pirate stuff. That's my hot take. Download stuff illegally.
Or just buy the physical copies of the movies.
And then go home and pirate it.
Yeah.
That, you know, I completely agree. Disney Plus was free for a year if you have Verizon. So I.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, if you have Verizon, Disney Plus is free for a year.
No way. I have Verizon. Disney Plus is awesome. Fuck everything I just said.
There's also, I'm pretty sure, a bundle. You can get, like, Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN or something for, like, $10 or $13.
Do I have that now?
Does Disney own Hulu? Because I know they own ESPN.
No, I think they are kind of trying to set up, like, their own bundle things of streaming stuff.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, Disney Plus, it's been great. Maybe a secondary hot take? Ooh, a lot of Disney movies don't really hold up that well, guys.
No, yeah, it's 100% true. They had, didn't they, like, there was one, like, overtly racist one that they're just like, yeah, this is not going to be on Disney Plus.
Oh, I don't know. I watched The Aristocats and Peter Pan, which are both from, like, 60s or 70s, maybe.
Okay.
And there were some bad racial mocking going on.
Yeah. But there was like a disclaimer that was on some old Warner Brothers cartoons that was like, yeah, Warner Brothers doesn't support the messages in this Warner Brothers TV show. They were a product of their time or something like that, where it's basically like, you're about to see some really racist, you're going to see Bugs Bunny in blackface. Which,
so bad. It's wild what children just like sat through and watched and were like, oh, all right, this is fine. Anyway,
yeah,
that's
right.
My hot take for the week: green eggs and ham, and maybe Disney Plus if it's free.
What about you? Yeah, I'm sorry, going back to that, I'm seeing, like, an article that says there's going to be a content warning for movies with racist tropes. Like, was there one at the beginning of Peter Pan?
No, nothing on Disney that I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe I missed it. I know the Warner Brothers thing. I saw that when that came out, which was, like, I think a pretty good step for, like, hey, everyone, just be aware. You can watch it, but it's not all great.
Right. Well. My hot take for the week, I don't really know how hot it is. Peyton knows about this. Joyner Lucas is a dork.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. Yeah, I was complaining to you about this, Peyton, but for, you know, Dylan and all of our fans, listeners. Yeah, he was tweeted about Juice WRLD dying, which... sad. It was really sad.
Oh, yeah.
But then Joyner Lucas, like, totally inserted himself in the situation with, like, no real need other than to be like, Juice WRLD's dead because of you guys making, you know, glorifying drugs. Like, you see what happened? Now kids are dying. And it's just like, why? Why did he say that? Like, do you feel like everybody rapping just doesn't know any better? Do you feel like people don't have, like, life experiences? You know, you're going to have somebody who's, like, on drugs, and then they're going to be, like, not knowing what's going on, how everything is, like, affecting them. It just, like, presupposes that everybody is really stupid and he's really smart. And that's kind of, that's what I feel like Joyner Lucas's whole vibe is. Where he makes, like, music for smooth-brained idiots who like to think they're smart.
Brutal attack on Joyner Lucas.
I get that. I actually get that and agree.
Yeah. I think what, like, maybe under a microscope you could find a kernel of, like, hey, maybe, you know, media should be very careful about how they portray certain things. Maybe that's a point. I think that's just kind of being scared of new things and talking about things openly. But putting that aside, coming at it in a way that's like, man, you guys, you all do this thing and that's bad, but me, I don't do that because I'm good and perfect, is basically the point of the tweet. It's to pander to the people who listen to him because he doesn't, you know, it's those YouTube comments. He doesn't talk about, you know, money and chains and women in his songs, therefore he's the best.
He talks about real shit.
Right, right. It's the J. Cole arguments and the Joyner Lucas, very similar, I would say, fan bases for the most part.
Yeah.
If you like them, that's fine. But if you like them because they're different and they talk about realness, just know that that's definitely an image that they constantly need to portray at the expense of someone else dying.
Right.
Maybe you don't need to make that tweet, but it helps your brand.
Yeah, also him inserting himself into some shit that he had no business being in. He wanted to hop in the middle of the Nick Cannon Eminem feud, which is hilarious.
But that's still going on.
Yeah, that's still going on. Like, Nick Cannon, like, dude takes one couple major L's, first getting the Mariah Carey back tattoo, then being broken up with by Mariah Carey, and then taking a further L from, I don't know, not being a really good rapper, and also beefing with somebody who's known to be really good at, like, battle rapping and diss tracks and stuff.
Did you guys, like, did you guys see, or I think Nick Cannon was saying that he has a video of Eminem giving head to his chauffeur. And Eminem has not made a diss track yet. I don't think he will. But all he did was tweet, "Nicholas, you need to stop. My gardener is jealous."
Right. Like, that's it. That's enough.
That's just a perfect response. Yeah. Nick Cannon's a joke.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
Dylan, you got any hot takes this week?
No.
No?
I was gonna talk about the Juice WRLD thing.
Pretty sad.
Gone too soon. Yeah. He was like 21, wasn't he?
21. Yeah. Yep.
Brutal.
I saw some things where he was like, his stuff was getting searched, and then he like took a bunch of pills or something because they were searching his stuff, and he was either trying to hide it or just get rid of it. Or something, and then that caused it, which is crazy.
It's almost like the war on drugs leads to more death. Huh.
Damn, dude.
Wild. Anyway, let's talk about... let's steer out of that. The upper right-hand corner of our bracket, we have Wasteland, Baby by Hozier, and Jesus is King by Kanye West. We have Blood Incantation versus, oh shoot, they have a long name and it's not in front of me, Brendan?
What?
By,
Blood Incantation.
Metal.
Hidden History of the Human Race.
Yes, I abbreviated it in my notes to Human Race, and that's not smart. Blood Incantation versus I by Bon Iver. Charlie versus Charlie XCX versus Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. And Everything's for Sale by Boogie Without a Hoodie versus You Know What I'm Saying by Danny Brown. All right, Brendan, I think you're kicking us off on the matchup of the century, maybe? Wasteland Baby versus Jesus is King. What do you think?
Oh, man.
Man, you love both of these just like a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely do. man, I wanted so badly. I wanted so badly to love Jesus is King. I listened to that album so many times in a row, trying to be like, well, there's God. I was trying to give Kanye West the benefit of the doubt. To my, I don't know, a fault of my own, wanting to believe so badly that this album was good. And it just upset me. It was very short. It felt like a Joel Osteen version of Christianity, which, like, I don't know. I'm not here to gatekeep how much you love God, but all I can say is that it didn't hit me the right way. You can make good Christian music. That's totally... It exists. It's out there. I'm not going to be, like, bashing that. But when you have a track that's, like, you know, closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A, like, that just makes me want to fucking die. I don't know. I feel like it was unfinished in a way that didn't lend itself to the style that it was going for. You know, on Ye, the sort of sloppiness, the sort of, I don't know, jagged edge to it. All the edges weren't all, you know, rounded out nice and neat. And I think on that album, that, you know, worked very well. On this album, it just did not hit. That's not to say there aren't, like, moments on this that are really cool. Because there totally were. The Ty Dolla $ign feature on Everything We Need is pretty good. That song's not half bad. I really liked Clips and one of the most ridiculous features of the year, Kenny G. That was super cool. I like that. But as an album, it just continuously rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't really care for his feel. I didn't care for that. But, like, we're going to Wasteland, baby. And, like, I don't... Where I feel a very strong emotions towards, you know, Jesus is King, certainly based in my my fandom, my big, you know, I really liked it, or like Kanye, and I liked his previous stuff, and I thought that was certainly compelling, whereas Wasteland Baby to me is... It's the antithesis to it. It's sexy elevator music. Hozier, I'll give it to him. Dude is beautiful and has great hair. But that album, I don't know, all things, it doesn't really move the needle. But in this instance, that is better than Jesus is King steering me straight off the road, right off a cliff, wow, to my inevitable death. Wasteland Baby kept me safe in the middle of the road.
Wow. Insane. I didn't see that coming. Brendan voting for Hozier over Kanye. Brutal.
Yeah.
Kanye, that you need to listen to that and just know you gotta do something different next time, bud. That's a major L. I have a lot of the same feelings about Jesus is King as you, Brendan, so I won't go into too many of them. Just that Clips, the Clips feature is great. That was legitimately a fun song for the most part because of them. Jesus is King is like somebody who went to Sunday school a few times and was like, yeah, I got the gist of it, and then went and tried to make an album. And it certainly feels like Christian music. I think it's genuine for the most part. And Kanye truly believes it's like a good thing to do to start making some more Christian stuff. And man, a Christian rap album, as much as it piqued my interest, I am not 13 anymore. I have expanded my horizons. I don't need this. I don't think anybody needs this. Wasteland Baby, on the other hand, fun, smooth, sexy, gets you horny. Just a great listen in public and in private, and there are no faults with it at all. The production's great, the lyrics are great, voice is great, hair is great. Hozier is my great king. Hair. Hozier is my king, basically, is what I'm saying. I stand that Irish tall king. I don't know what's not hitting for you if you don't like this. You just bask in it. Just soak in that voice and just get aroused. That's
it's passable. I recognize this as being an album that exists. I'll say that it's an album and it exists,
but it's sweet and it's tender and it's steamy all at once.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going Hosier.
I'll disagree. Yeah, for sure.
We can dig into it. You know, I'm not saying as much as about the album that's moving on, just because I know we'll talk about it more. And I got endless words to say on Hosier. So he's moving on.
Yeah, but Dylan, you had like a 10-minute speech about Shrikes.
I might get a Shrike tattoo. That is a possibility in my future.
All right, yeah.
Dylan, I'm sorry that Jesus is King was on your team. How do you feel about that loss?
That's all right. So thoroughly, and he didn't even.
I was actually going to go with Wasteland, baby.
Oh.
Okay.
Because I recently was like on YouTube and I saw a live video of Kanye live at some church thing on YouTube, and I clicked on it and I was watching it, and I have to say a choir version of this album live, so like the whole thing was just like a church service and then they played his songs, but there was a choir that was singing it, all these songs, was really, really good. Actually, it sounded really good. But then Kanye came in, and like, I don't know, he really sucked. He must have been off or something that night. And even like his one, like there's like that dance track or something in the middle of it. Like it's like, it's almost like trance. Like, and he's like, he played this whole song and he's just like hitting two keys on a keyboard throughout the whole thing. And I was just like, I'm not feeling anything with that. And then I went back and I listened to Wasteland Baby, which I think I remember being sort of neutral with, and or maybe leaning on the side of not really liking that much, but it struck a nerve this week. I'm turning a stone with Hosier, I think.
Brings me great joy as it moves on in the bracket.
You getting water in your eyes, Peyton, over there?
I don't know what it is about Hosier. He just does it for me. The voice, the lyrics, everything.
Yeah. Very like, it almost like just goes right through you. Like, I don't know. It makes you, has a very airiness and open, just super soothing sound to it, which I like.
Beautiful. You love to see it. Our next matchup here, Blood Incantation by Hidden History of the Human Race versus I, Bon Iver. Who started? Brendan. So I'm starting this one. This is a nice matchup. These are very different albums, but very similar in my mind in the way they play with sound. Blood Incantation, very heavy metal. And we've talked about quite a few heavy metal albums on here, and they are always hit or miss for me. This one kind of hit in the middle. As much as a heavy album, heavy metal album can hit in the middle for you, this was that. I didn't get as amped as I did with something like Death Heaven. I didn't get as annoyed as something like Panopticon. But it's very solid. I would recommend it. And it's going up against I by Bon Iver, which is something. It is something else. I like the way he plays with sound. We talked to a Hound track about organic music that is also very electronic and distorted. And I think Bon Iver just walks that line perfectly. I was watching some of the YouTube videos for the album, and I did not know this, but there are lyrics to everything, every noise being made that's Bon Iver singing, or what's his name, Justin Vernon.
Yeah.
The band, the man, not the band. Everything is words that he's saying, but it is just put through such a filter that it is almost incomprehensible. And I really like that. I really enjoyed it. It is a treat. I don't know how much I'm kind of going to come back to either of these, but I got to go I. I'm giving my vote to I.
Hey. Dylan, all right.
Dylan, how say you?
Well, to begin, I'm not really a big metal fan. I don't really like metal music that much. And this felt like this blood incantation felt like just a pretty, and I don't get deep into metal, so I don't know like all the subgenres and like all the little nuances, but to me it sounded like a pretty normal metal album from the surface. But I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about with metal, but to me that's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I is not by far my favorite album at all, and even by Bon Iver it's not my favorite album. I preferred 22 a Million a lot more than this, and I really didn't like this album that much at all compared to his previous work. But being from Eau Claire and like where he came from, and having just worked on the festival and seeing him walk around, and him basically, or his tour manager being my boss, and you know, just him basically being the reason that I have a job right now, that's I kind of have to lean on that side and vote for
it. Sounds like you have a conflict of interest.
Well, hey, what can I say?
Don't bite the hand that feeds you, Brendan.
Did that album change me? Yes, I would say so. Yeah, did that? Yeah, did that band and Bon Iver change the path of my history of life? Yeah, it did. I could say that.
Did it teach you how to love Dylan?
Didn't teach me how to love.
Oh, okay.
Teach me how to be heartless, like The Weeknd.
Ah, all right. Yeah. Is Bon Iver, is that like is that just like Justin Vernon, kind of like how The Weeknd is one person, Bon Iver is one person with like a band, or is that, you know, like that's just the name of a band?
It's a band. It's okay. Kind of a long story. Like it used to be a band, and then they didn't really break up, but they sort of like drifted apart a little bit, and then they still made the album that blew them up. And at that point, they kind of were broke up, but then the album that they made kind of while they were separated a little bit, like, blew up.
Yeah.
Which was just Justin Vernon basically on the guitar in the, like, with, I believe it's Evans Middleworth, which is a person I work with as well. But it had, like, some things from the band, and it blew up, like, crazy. So then they kind of got back together, and now they're back together as a band. So it's kind of a weird thing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it. Aye, moving right on. Next up, Charlie, but Charlie XCX versus.
I didn't even get to talk about it.
Oh, dang, sorry.
We don't care about
it. Not that it matters, but I have thoughts I want to share on this.
I'm very, very sorry. I was looking at the data. Yes, Brendan, your pick. I think that was a very high seed for you.
Thoughts and opinions on that. I obviously picked Blood Incantations album, Hidden History of the Human Race. I loved it. I thought that album was very sick. I think it's funny how like half of the album is one song and the other half of the album is the other 75% of the album in terms of like number of tracks. But I think it really fucking cool. It's got like a, you know, the cosmic theme to it. It's got the artwork on there, like the very science fiction sort of thing. It's got that feel to it. The breakdowns are hard. The guitar solos are tight. Everything just, you know, functions as like a well-oiled machine, and that's what this album really feels like. Just methodical, like they know what the fuck they're doing. I love that album. I think that's one of the better metal albums of the year. And I was like, you know, this Bon Iver, who the fuck is Bon Iver, you know, like that, what's up with that? But I listened to it, and you know, the first track is just kind of static. There's not a whole lot going on, but like when the real like first song, not just the intro, came on, I was like, shit, this is really fucking good. This album is incredible. I loved it. At first listen through, it really hit me in like a, you know, Peyton had a good point about it being like organic, but still like electronic. It toes that line incredibly, and there's so many like layers to it. I love the song Salem. This whole album's really fucking good, and I was gonna pick that. I was gonna pick Bon Iver, I as well. So,
wow, you guys are some clear indications that we are as unbiased as possible picking albums that weren't on our team here.
Right, right.
Of course, I can say that after like it was already eliminated, but I was gonna pick that.
I respect it. All right, now we're moving on. Good to get some Blood Incantation praise in there. Now we're moving on to Charlie by Charlie XCX versus Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. Dylan. Ooh. Dylan, please give us your thoughts. We have you talked ever about Ariana Grande? It's crazy. Let's talk about her.
I don't think I ever have, but I mean, come on. What do you think I'm gonna pick? Thank you. Next.
Wow. The character growth with you and Ariana Grande is astounding, and I just want to, can you gush about this album for a minute? I want to, you know, like what changed for you, Dylan?
I don't know, it's a good album.
Yes.
It's not a good like philosophical album. It's not like a good hip hop album. It's not a good electronic, cool, like, wow, you're pushing boundaries album. But it is a good pop album. It's a really, really good pop album. And
yeah,
every like I was like, oh, her voice has to be auto-tuned and stuff, and then like I'd see videos of her singing and like with no microphones or no possible way of the like for them to put autotune over it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, wow, she actually does have a pretty good voice, I guess. And I don't know. Yeah. Just
how do you feel about the specific song Thank You Next? Have you turned around on that song, or you think the album as a whole just kind of works?
So you're saying like how I used to hate it because she killed Mac Miller? Is that what you?
Yeesh, yeah, I guess.
Getting it, yeah. Like, I have turned around because she's a person too, and I have to respect that. I know my emotions got a little out of hand when one of my favorite artists of all time passed away, but and I threw out some blame on Ari, but I'm growing, I'm past that, and I'm apologizing. So yeah.
Dang.
I do listen to that song every once in a while, I guess.
Wow, yeah,
it's a good fucking song.
It's a good arc right there. Brendan, how you feeling?
I think we know what I'm going with. Charlie XCX, her album Charlie is the better pop album out of these two, and here is why. Charlie XCX's album is just sonically, it's more adventurous, it's more fun, it just has more zazz. Ariana Grande's album, Thank You Next, is a pretty good album. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, you know, I'm not gonna say she can't sing or the production wasn't top quality, because it all was. There's just something about Charlie XCX's one, which still pop, still smooth as hell, but it has a, I think it takes on a world of its own that exists outside of pop music currently, in a like a contemporary sense, not just like pop music the genre, but like just popular music. I think this album like will be able to hold up over time in a way that lets it, you know, feel fresh and new 10 years from now, whereas Ariana Grande's album is going to sound good, but it's going to sound like it's of the time, if that makes sense. Like, I think that songs from here are going to still be, you know, cool in 10 years, whatever, but Charlie XCX is one of it's more fun to me. I love the features on it. I love everything about this album. It's outstanding.
Dang.
Charlie gets my vote.
Tied up. I will break the tie here. That is a good take. You know, I have fought the Charlie XCX praise mostly in defense of Tovlo on the episode we did about that album. I don't know if I've come around on Charlie XCX, but I kind of get it more than I used to get it. I think with a lot of these albums I initially didn't really care too much for, I've kind of seen the appeal. I am tempted to swing my vote that way. But on the other hand, I mean, Ariana Grande, there is something about it that I will admit is safer of an album, but it is just so entertaining to me. Even like the song Seven Rings is the chorus from a Sound of Music song mixed with kind of hip hop influence, and it shouldn't really work, and it's just kind of a conglomeration of a lot of things, but it's just fun. Like it is fun in a way that I am aware that I am consuming something that is not great for me, in the same sense that I get when I eat a Snickers. But I think I'm gonna keep eating at the plate of Thank You Next so much more than Charlie XCX, and I will let all Brendan's points stand that it might be more adventurous and more of an accomplishment, but I gotta give it to Thank You Next here, folks.
Yeah, it's a good album. I like I said, there aren't really a whole lot of ones on this bracket that I'll be like super butthurt over. I was pounding the table for Charlie. Still think it's a better album, but Thank You Next is fucking good.
That was almost a swing vote for me. I almost gave it to Charlie, but I don't think I can in my heart.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish it up for the week here, folks. Everything's For Sale by Boogie versus You Know What I'm Saying by Danny Brown, the official pronunciation. Brendan,
I don't like that.
Brendan, how do you feel about You Know What I'm Saying?
Danny Brown's album, You Know What I'm Saying, is awesome. I love it. I love Danny Brown. I love the personality that comes through on this. I love Danny Brown is somehow old enough to probably be Boogie's dad, but he's still making music that I think sounds fresher and newer than Boogie. And I really did dig Boogie's album. I think Danny Brown is just on some next level weird uncle energy. He's, you know, tweeting about Korean pop stars. He's tweeting about having a TV show. Danny Brown is all over the place. And part of what just makes it work for me, this album, is that balance of being new, but also still having that the years of like experience behind it. That it's not about being, you know, 40 and having a stale album because you've run out of ideas. It seems like on this one, it's just ongoing development of more and more stuff. It seems like this album, Danny Brown is really in tune with a lot of different music right now in terms of, you know, like all genres. And you get Q-Tip on here, you get JPEG Mafia, you get Thundercat, and it all just flows so well. This album is fantastic. Yeah. I didn't even talk about Everything's For Sale, but I did really like it. It's a really nice album. The JID feature is insane. actually like the six lakh feature. Silent Ride, it's a bop. There's a lot of really good songs on this too, but I think for me, what this comes down to, when you have two like objectively insanely talented people, is the element of style. And I think mine aligns more with what Danny Brown's going for, as opposed to Boogie's take on hip hop. Still an awesome album, but yeah, Danny Brown.
God, nice. I hate all of what you said.
all right. Hang on a second. I'm up next here. I don't hate most of what you said. I think I like Everything's For Sale more than you do, Brendan, but it is tough. Like, these are great
voices. In hip-hop, I'm not sure Boogie's a rapper. Whatever he is, it is a very unique voice. Just physically. Like, the physical sound waves coming out of Boogie's mouth and the physical sound waves coming out of Danny Brown's mouth are weird and crazy and intriguing and mysterious and just so many things.
Yep.
And then you add on to that great songwriting from the both of them, great production for the both of them. This is close. This sucks. I'm honestly upset that the seeding worked out, that they got put against each other right away. It's tough. Danny Brown maybe came a little short of peak Danny Brown, but it is such an evolution for him that it's not at all a step back. It's a new direction, and I respect it. But we also have like a debut performance by Boogie, for the most part, first major studio album. Oof. Not a whole lot to compare it to. Maybe that gives him a little bit of boost of the lack of amazing work to compare himself against. But I think all the features hit, and not all the Danny Brown features hit. And that's a very slight point, but I think it adds to the completeness of an album. With razor thin margins, I'm giving it to Boogie. I'm tying it up for you, Dylan.
Man. Oh man, that one hurt.
It hurts good. Me. It honestly hurts me, man.
No, that was good. That was the right choice, Peyton.
Oh.
Oof.
Yeah, man, Boogie, come on. Yeah, Boogie all the way. I'm surprised because like that you didn't like it, Brendan, because his lyrics are, I think, some of the best that I've ever heard.
I agree. I just think Danny Brown is,
I guess, yeah.
That's more my style, I guess.
Yeah, Danny Brown does have good lyrics and like the weird sort of fun style lyrics, like where it's like it'll make you laugh, and then also
Danny Brown
like,
said,
"Oh God, yeah, like, yeah."
So we did the Humpty Hump in a Burger King bathroom, and I felt that.
Yeah, that's I.
that's what you're saying.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
So okay, no, so I'll say one that I felt. It says, "I wish that you would talk more. I know that's a lost war. She's gonna take the aux cord and let it play her thoughts for her."
But where's the Humpty Hump?
There ain't no Humpty Hump.
Where's the boinking?
There ain't no Humpty Hump.
No, yeah, that's a really good line. It's really tight.
That's just one good line. There's a hold on. Yeah,
Dylan,
I mean,
furiously Googling.
I feel like I came for your baby.
Is it okay? Yeah, you did. This is my baby. I listened to this album probably more than any album this year, probably.
Dang. I think that was your number one pick, was it not, Dylan?
Let me check. Yes.
Huh. Well, yeah. I mean,
no, it's good.
Safe to say you dominated that quadrant. Three of those albums are yours. One's Peyton's, zero are mine.
Dang. Wow. We just killed all of Brendan's like middle tier albums. Brendan, I did give you basically two number one seeds, though, because you did get an extra album. So yeah, sure. Your heavy hitters are really lower right.
I see it.
Which we will get to next week.
Okay. This line right here.
One more boogie line.
So he's talking about this girl that he's pissed at, right?
As usual, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He says, pissed because you pick me apart, but don't ever pick me up. Ain't no gif or emoji depict how much I don't give a fuck. Ooh, God.
When he said, I need a bitch that's as thick as my skin, I felt that too. It stinks to end the episode on such a bloody war. That one may be the hardest pick of the bracket here, but yeah, everything's for sale. Moving on.
Oof. Awesome.
That finishes the first round in the upper half of our bracket. Brendan taking serious losses. I didn't even connect those dots there.
Heavy casualties, but that's okay because there can only be one winner. I've still got albums that are in the game.
Absolutely.
I'm not done yet.
You got the top half of your team there to still battle it out. There is only, in the end, one winner, and what do we got? Six losers? So we're all equal in the end for the most part. Tune in next week as we continue the battle. Man, my voice is shot. We're going way over time. It is going to be a thrilling continuation, rest assured. From the land of 10,000 hot takes, it's been Brendan Haley, Dylan Schemenauer, and Peyton Kaiser. We'll be back next week.
That was nice.